Well, here we are again. This is session number 13 in volume number 7. Many women were there. And we're going to be thinking about several scriptures, but our main scripture is going to be found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. So if you have your Bibles handy, just turn to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. And it says, I'm reading from the NIV, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, many women were there watching from a distance. Matthew tells us this in chapter 27, verse 55. Let me read that to you. "Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs." There are many instances throughout history where we find women by the side of what is happening because they are there to care for the needs of those in the midst of the action. Let me make it clear here, the people supporting the current or the central players in any event are very important within the whole scheme of things. It is most unfortunate, those who support the people who were named throughout history have often been left out when the history or report of the action was recorded. I mean, you can find out what great people did in history, usually men, but you don't find out about the women who were around doing things for them. You don't learn about the mothers who set them on the right track or the wives who were there to support them. You don't learn about the daughters who were there carrying on their father's work. You just don't hear about those things quite often. I find it very interesting, the scripture found within the Bible. Now, why do I say that? Because people from other religions say that their holy book is scripture. But the scripture found within our Bible is God's Word, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I just find it interesting that the Bible often takes great effort to make those supportive people be known. Now, you know, I have heard many, many times in my life how brutal Christianity and Judaism is to women, and how God just marginalizes women. Well, now let's take a look at something here. Because the Bible, God takes great effort to make these supportive people to be known. The 56th verse in Matthew 27 is a great example of this very thing. This is what the 56th verse of Matthew 27 says. "Among them were..." Now remember, the 55th verse just said, "Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs." The scriptures could have stopped there. But no, the very next verse, that verse 56 says, among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. You see, the Bible took very specific note of who these women were. Again, in Matthew 27:61, after we read of Joseph of Arimathea taking the body of Jesus and placing it in his own tomb, Matthew tells in verse 61 there, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Again, they're a part of it, but they're not necessarily in the thick of it at that moment. I mean, they're in the thick of it, but if you see what I'm saying, they're not the one carrying the body of Jesus into the tomb. These women were waiting for their opportunity to serve. You know, many people find it very difficult to wait for their opportunity to serve. They begin to manufacture opportunities. They begin to decide they're going to do good, godly things. And don't misunderstand me, there's nothing wrong with doing good, godly things. There are basic things that every believer is expected to do and basic things that are expected of every believer. But there are also specific things that people are called to do. But oftentimes people like Abraham and Sarah decide they're going to come up with helping God and doing something on their own, and they actually end up doing something that is counterproductive. They come up with an Ishmael. So these women were waiting for their opportunity to serve. We learn once again, they were ready to serve. Now notice, they were ready and they were waiting. Now this is what we're told. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. I don't know if you've really realized it, but women are very great messengers. Now before you start chuckling and talk about gossip, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people on the old-fashioned party lines or this sort of thing. I'm talking about women as messengers of God. It was women who first heard the message that Jesus had risen from the grave in Matthew 28:5. It was women who first were told about it. And how were they told about it? They were told about it in a revelation. How did the revelation come about? Well, the revelation was first given to women to tell the gospel of the resurrection. This is what Matthew tells us. The women were entrusted by whom? By God through an angel with the task of delivering the revelation to others. I don't know if you'd ever thought of that or not, but it was first women that God used to let people know Jesus had kept his word. On the third day, he was back. Back in power. Then the next thing that happens with Revelation, you know, the scripture says that God doesn't do anything until he first tells his prophets. He tells his prophets before an action or an act that God's going to do occurs. Now, sometimes he tells them with just in a matter of days, and other times it's decades or a millennia. But he reveals and says what he's going to do. Read the prophets in the Old Testament. Read the book of the Revelation of John. You'll see that to be true. So here we have, they're on their way to tell that Jesus has risen from the dead, that he's out of the tomb, walking around, and confirmation happens. When God reveals a matter, he confirms the matter with adequate witness. Now we know that the number two is adequate witness, so there's at least two things that happen as adequate witness, so we know that we're not going to be flaky. We know that God is true to his word, and he doesn't change the rules as he goes along. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what happens? Jesus himself became the adequate witness. Now, I would think that's pretty adequate witness, since that's the one that rose from the dead. But he became the second encounter that they had to learn that he had risen from the grave. And so Jesus himself became the adequate witness to what the women had been told by the angel. Now Jesus in verse 10 gives exact instructions regarding what their message is to be. Then Jesus said to them, now listen, this is a quote of what Jesus said. One, he says, do not be afraid. How many people, I've heard people say, oh, I was afraid if God talked to me, he'd send me off to some remote place. I was afraid. Banish fear from your life, and perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And so Jesus said, do not be afraid. Then he says, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. That's the same thing, basically, that the angel said. Basically the same thing. Do you see the confirmation there? But who's the confirmation coming to? Who's the revelation coming to? It's coming to women. I find that just absolutely so interesting. Now, so what about women in the kingdom? Now, we know that Paul said, well, you know, women are to be silent in the church. And that's taken kind of out of the context of what was going on there, because these were women who were not maybe educated, maybe could not read. They had not had things explained to them, and they were getting a lot more explanation than they used to have. And so they were talking back and forth and disrupting the service. And so they were to be quiet during the service. But the role of women in the kingdom is well documented. From the harlot's red cord in Joshua 2 to the books of Esther and Ruth. You see, Esther and Ruth were not only mentioned, but are the main focus and instrument God used for his purposes, not to mention Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, there you have Esther and Ruth. They have the whole book named after them. We know about Naomi and what she did with Ruth to guide Ruth into what had to happen to show how Jesus was going to take care of his bride. All of these things were done through women. Now you say, well, now wait a minute. Eve ate that forbidden fruit. Yes, she did. And there have been other women, Jezebel. There have been other women throughout history who have not done godly things or what God wanted done. But there have also been men who haven't. So we just can't throw women out just because there were some women who were necessarily rotten apples in the barrel, because there are some men who are some very rotten apples in the barrel as well. We have to get a perspective. You see, many women were there. They were witnesses to what happened. Do you think that they just didn't mention anymore that they saw Jesus as they were running from the tomb to go back to the 11 and tell them what was going on, and that they were to go to Galilee and they were to meet Jesus? Do you think for a minute that they didn't ever say anything more about that than then? Can you hear them talking to grandchildren and to other people's children and to other people in the towns and the villages where they went? We saw the Master. We saw the angel. We heard the earth shake and quake. We experienced all of these things. We were there when he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We were there. We heard his voice. Can you imagine they never said anything about that again? Pretty difficult to imagine, isn't it? Women have always been very important in the kingdom. And the scripture tells us that there is no male or female in Christ, neither Jew nor Greek. That we are all one and the same in the kingdom. Responsibilities, yes. Do we have different roles? Yes. I will tell you, where would this world be? We've already seen what's happened to homes without fathers in them. Where would this world be if children were taken away from all the mothers, too, and raised by some conglomeration of people who were in power, to be little drones and clones to carry out some political or some economic program? We were placed on this earth, whether we be men or women, to glorify God and to praise God and to bring His kingdom in. His kingdom. And women are in His kingdom. There needs to be respect for women in the kingdom. There needs to be respect for how God works through women in the kingdom. And there needs to be respect by women for what God expects of them and will do through them. We all need to look to God for the guidance. We need to seek the Lord. We need to go beyond just seeing Jesus as our Savior and seeing Jesus as our Lord. Now, in the next session, I'm going to be talking a good bit about this. Because this is another one that the Lord gave me weeks ago. And He said, this is the order I